Hey guys, welcome in or welcome back to the podcast. I got Andrew Guilford here with Film and Flourish. What is up, my friend?
What's up, man? How's your week been going?
So far, so good. You're running morning. You got your coffee in you. You're wired.
I'm wired. I'm trying to hide it.
No, you're good, man. Pulsing out of your veins.
It is. It is, man. I'm even laughter, I feel like a rush of energy.
I love that. That sounds interesting. All right, let's get into the topic today, man. Basically,
who needs drugs when you have coffee?
Spoken like a true champ.
Spoken like a good Christian.
That's hilarious. All right, man, let's get into the topic today. Basically, what I want to talk about is, if you were to start today, how would you break into the filmmaking business? Say you have all your gear, you're ready to start shooting. How would you break into the industry? You can talk about like techniques of how to get gigs. How would you market yourself to build your name? Just what would be the first initial steps if you had all your gear, you were ready to go, and you're trying to break into the wedding film industry?
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like having all your gear already in place, it's kind of like the reverse side of things,
right.
At least reverse of what I did. But if you had everything you needed and even had some like technical prowess, whether you had some kind of background in education, college, you just been YouTube and stuff for the last couple of years, and you're like, all right, I'm gonna jump into it. I still don't think you can really dive into this industry without knowing at least a handful of people.
Sure.
And that's what I did. Honestly, when I got into weddings, I started meeting with anybody and anyone who had ever shot a wedding, specifically photographers. I didn't know any videographers. I knew two or three people that did photo, and I knew them because they had taken like headshots for me in high school or just, yeah. You know, all local connections. Yeah. I didn't know anybody. And all I did was meet up with people for lunch, met up with them for coffee, and I would just ask them questions. I'm like, I went to film school. Here's my background. I love filming things. I like people, and so like I want to be around people more often. How the heck do I get into this? And very early on, it just took a lot of those conversations and meetups with people. And just from those conversations, those people would go out and they would have conversations with people that they knew and they were friends with, they had connections with, and they'd be like, hey, here's a young guy fresh out of college. Like, he wants to get into, he does video, that's his background, he wants to get into weddings. Like, I'm sure he charges like really cheap, or like he charges nothing, he's just trying to break in. And really, it was just the grind early on. Yeah. I filmed stuff for like restaurants, salons, shot a wedding, for my first wedding for $200. And really, it was just get out there and start doing it. And I think thankfully I caught a huge break after one wedding. Within a week, five or six people messaged me on Facebook and they're like, can you do our wedding? So it took off very quickly for the wedding world. And I think weddings are probably the easiest industry to break into. You shoot one and you're in. I mean, my wife shot her first wedding back in January, and then she shot a second one again, very cheap for a friend here in April. And she's gotten like five or six messages from people on Instagram. Can you shoot our wedding?
Yeah, because Jane just started photography like pretty recently, right?
Yeah, I got her a camera, I guess, just over 2 years ago for Valentine's as a surprise gift, because she's always, you know, she loves taking photos on her phone. And she's more recently got into taking couples portraits, family photos, stuff like that. Yeah. And even taking couples and family stuff and not even having done a wedding, she's still got messages asking if, you know, do you do weddings? And I've had two couples of mine who are getting married this year not liking their photographer. And they're like, can, wow. Jane, cool. Can Jane shoot our wedding? So again, it's like even just from that, the relationships I've built with couples, yeah. And my body of work has couples being like, hey, someone you're associated with, will they jump on in and
exactly.
join us? And so having people like that early on, even though I had zero work to show for it, having people that would say, nah, Andrew's like straight shooter. He's got a good work ethic. He like great, easy to work with. You know, you should have a conversation with him. That stuff was, I think like 90-95% of what allowed me to just jump in feet first and, you know, to start moving forward.
Yeah, to play devil's advocate here a little bit, do you think the market is more saturated today than it was when, say, like you jumped into it? For sure, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My gosh, so much more. But I don't even know if saturated would be the word I would use, because, like, I guess just walking through this, looking back from when I started in 2017 and you started, I think you said 2015 or 16.
Yeah. 2015.
There weren't any podcasts.
Nothing.
Like, yeah. There was nothing. I think we mentioned last week, we had Craig Adams, hour and a half long videos of him, like, eating, you know, munching on snacks, every little thing. But even that, even though it wasn't like the short, compact form content that people want now, they want the 3-minute videos, yep, and the quick stuff, people would still watch the entire thing, which showed you that, like, people had a want and desire and there was a need to learn and get that type of information. Skip ahead 5 years and it's like there's like probably 6 to 10 legit podcasts where it's like they've got 50 plus episodes or more. That's just on the video side of things. Photography, my gosh, there's probably 5 times as many podcasts on photography and like building community, and they don't even talk about the technical stuff. But as far as going off your word saturation, even though there's now way more videographers and thus way more people offering education, there's still, like, I still know just as many photographers, people who've gotten into photography since I got into video. It's for all the people that have jumped into video since I've been doing video, just as many people have jumped into photography, and there was already 20 times more photographers, yeah, than video when I started. Yeah. So it's like photo is still, I think photo would be the one that I'm like, it would say is just packed. And yet I have friends who are like, oh, I got married last year and I think this is cool, let me try it out. And now they're doing photography and now they've quit their job and they're doing photography full time. So I'm like, even with having thousands of options, or, you know, 100 options, 200 options in your local market, it's like there's still a way to break in. There's always weddings that need video, and it's just crazy. There's so many weddings that,
yeah, I think, like, even today there's so many, like, more videographers and photographers than there have ever been. But I still feel like there is so much work out there to be had. Like, there's so many weddings. And I don't know if it's just, like, the market of, like, the Virginia, Maryland kind of area. Like, other parts of the nation might be different. But from my experience, I just feel like there's so many weddings still out there to be had. Like, if you were to break into the market today, I feel like it's just not as easy to get work, but just as obtainable to get work today than it was back then.
Yeah. And I think, too, now that we're past... I say past, but I think now that we're past, like, the main portion of the pandemic, like, I've seen so many people start doing this within the last year.
Yeah.
Whereas if people had started 2 years ago, they might have been, like, you know, they might have been in trouble, not been able to make this last. It might not have been sustainable. But my goodness, yeah, people are just jumping in. I do photos. And again, we have a different generation of people coming up. Like, even though I'm shooting a lot of weddings where people are like 25 years old to like 33 years old, and that's a big part of my demographic age-wise, you got a lot of people, you got 13-year-olds and 15-year-olds and 17-year-olds watching stuff on TikTok and Reels on Instagram, and it's like, they don't just want their photos and something they can frame. They want their photos to be flashy and quick and have music and have the latest trending audio over it. It's like, yeah, it's a whole different market. So it's like, not only do we still have room for new people to come in, but I think as trends change, it's going to phase out and it's going to kind of kick some people out that don't keep up with the phases, sure, and the trends. And I think there's other people who are just like, nah, I'm so solid in my brand and I know what I'm doing. I don't even need to do the trends and I'm still going to last. I got through COVID. I can get through, you know, the latest, I can get through the new trend.
COVID, I can get through this trend.
But my goodness. Yeah. The sky's the limit.
Yeah.
I honestly don't even know what it would have to look like or what would have to happen to say the market's saturated. We can't take any more creatives. We're filled.
Yeah, we're
full.
So you're saying, going back to the original question, to break into the market, to build a name for yourself, it's all about relationships, really, in the beginning. And even to this day, it's all about relationships with, you know, photographers, planners.
Yeah.
Even when you're starting out, you know, DJs, anyone within the industry, like florists. Like, in my opinion, like, if you were to go out and, like, film your first wedding, make friends with as many people as possible. It's like, it's all about relationships.
I was giving random people at weddings my business cards.
Yeah, legit, bro. Me too.
I'd be flying my drone and some half drunk guy walks up. I'll be like,
here's my card.
Here's my card. You know, like, give this to anyone you know who's engaged. everybody, man. Yeah. I was letting anyone and everyone know that I shot weddings when I was at a wedding. Here's my contact information. Here's how you can get a hold of me.
Yeah. And I think even then, like, if you weren't able to build relationships, say you're unable to book your first wedding, I think, like you said, reaching out to other people in the industry and just maybe start second shooting for them. Like, offers your services for free to a venue to shoot, like, a promotional piece for the venue to maybe get on their preferred vendor list. There's other things that you can do without talking to people in the specific industry that you can do to break in. Like, I think second shooting is a great thing, and I think a lot of people don't realize it's fairly easy to get a second shooting gig, because I think,
yeah,
you know, the pay isn't going to be what it is if you shoot your own wedding, but it's easier to get that kind of gig.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of it comes down to mindset, too. I think a lot of people expect, like, oh, if I'm going to second shoot, then I can just kind of hop on with anyone and just learn and get paid. And yet I've had a lot of people reach out to me saying, I want a second shoot for you. And I'm like, you can shadow me.
Right.
You can shoot behind the scenes for me. But I don't even want you touching a camera. I just want you to watch and take stuff in. And then, like, inevitably over time, it's like, okay, after a handful of weddings, like, now I want you to second shoot. And I'll still pay people that have, like, shadowed me. Or if I get, like, a tip or something, like, I'll just give them, like, a lot of the tip. But back to that mindset thing, I think a lot of people who are trying to break into the industry need to have a mindset of, I need to learn from people, I need to consume as much as I can without expecting, like, full compensation.
Right.
And I don't say that to be cheap, but, like, I think both of us can probably attest to, we've had so many people who are like, oh, I can second shoot. You pay them all this money, and, like, you can't use a single shot they got. And it's like, maybe I should approach this differently. Maybe I should find people, one, that are, like, really eager to learn. And if they are really interested in working with you, have them shoot one to two weddings with you where they just watch. They don't even film. They don't touch a camera. Or you have them stand behind you. Or you let them film, but you're like, I'm not planning on using a single shot you use. If I do, then, like, maybe I'll compensate you. But, like, I just want you to, like, go in with an open mindset of, I want to do this well. I want to do this right. And I want to get to a point where, like, yeah, this could potentially be my full-time thing. I full-time second shoot for people and other companies. So yeah, definitely getting your foot in the door. It might not be immediately second shooting. But yeah, working your way into that second shooting position is definitely, I think, one of the first things someone's going to want to do. I would never recommend just doing what I basically did and just jumping into my first wedding. But again, they barely paid me. They had no expectations. They paid like $2,000 for their entire wedding.
Yeah.
And they still love their video to this day.
And I think people would be surprised how open most videographers would be to have someone come in and shadow them just to, like, watch them work. And that day of consuming that and just watching that person work is so more valuable than any money that they could pay you for that day. Just to be able to soak in how a professional works throughout the day, their communication with other vendors, their, you know, how to work just throughout the entire day is so valuable that I don't think, you know, $500 is like, it's like nothing in the grand scheme of things if you truly want to get into the industry.
Yeah, and just thinking back on last year, I had a guy shadow me in May, and then he shadowed me again in September.
Yeah.
And it was, he even said this, I can't remember the exact words he used, but something along the lines of, like, how much value he got out of just being able to see, like, how I interact with the parents and my couples. The wedding he shadowed me in September, the couple was friends with one of my previous couples whose wedding I had shot. And so he got to see, like, on a totally different world of relationships where I didn't just know the couple. Oh, I know who you are. I've met you. It's like, you were at the another wedding I shot. You're close friends with that couple. That couple is here today. One of them's in the wedding party.
Yeah.
And so, like, we were just, like, as soon as he saw me go up and hug a groom from a past wedding and start talking about all this different stuff completely unrelated to the wedding, even just stuff like that, it's like, that is so much value that's being offered. And he was even like, I want that. Like, sure, I want to make more money. I want to get more weddings. I want to second shoot for you in the future. But, like, I've never seen, I've been at plenty of weddings. I've never seen the videographer just go up and be like, start talking about that person's family and their job. And, like, you didn't even know, didn't know I was there to film the wedding. You just thought, oh, there's my friend. And I don't have that with every couple, obviously, but he was like, man, I want more of that. And so between shadowing me for those two weddings, I then got to see some of his work between those two weddings, even in the last couple of months. He's like imitating how I shoot and set up for my ceremonies, how I set my shoot and set up for my speeches. And I'm like, I didn't have to pay him all this money and hope he gets shots in order for him to see how I do that stuff. And he start implementing that into his business. Right. And so now I know when he does come and shoot for me, he'll know what I want because he's seen me do it. He's been doing it for himself. And all of a sudden I'm like, hey, you know, this is, I can pay you to be a second shooter. And sure enough, 2 weeks ago in Frederick, he got his first, you know, time of second shooting with me. And so I just think that's like it's a long game. I think a lot of people want like instant gratification. They instantly want that second shooter gig. They want the money. They want the experience. And it's like, this guy just had to play out a whole entire year before he set the second shot with me. Yeah. And I don't know, we could always ask him, was it worth it? Do you wish you'd been able to do it faster? But I think that's just, it's such a solid, grounded way of approaching things. And again, it's all about mindset and his work. His work last year versus where it is now has vastly improved over other people I've seen doing this for 7-8 years whose work doesn't look any different a year later.
Yeah, exactly. So, cool. Well, if you guys have any questions that you want answered on the podcast, feel free to, you know, leave a comment, like and subscribe. If you guys want, our main goal here is to build a community, a healthy community of wedding videographers within the industry. So we appreciate you guys. And until next time, see ya.
See ya.